Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A man by the name of Harold Hendricks, who is a lot of people tout as an expert in teaching and in communication. He said this. He said, either you are in the Word and the Word is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, or you are in the world and the world is squeezing you into its mold. So he says, he's saying this, that either you're a person that is intentionally and constantly in the Word of God and letting the Word of God change you and mold you and shape not only just you, but the way that you think. Or he says you're in the world and the world is squeezing you and shaping you into its mold. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says this. Look at some of this progression here. He says, study to do what? To show thyself approved unto God. For your life, for your pattern of behavior to be approved and acceptable by God. Listen, there's a lot of people that I would like to have approval from, but none more than God himself, right? And he says, do this, study to show thyself approved. Well, how do you do that? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A person that is serving the Lord, that is working for God, that doesn't need to be ashamed. To say, hey, I wasn't prepared. I'm not ready. I don't know what I'm doing. Well, how do you do that? He says this, rightly dividing the word of truth. That it's important not just to read the Bible, but it's important to know the Bible and to study the Bible. And that's why I really wanted to take some time here at the end of this year and focus on how to study the Bible and how we don't just read the Bible for intellectual knowledge, but how to really dive into it and really understand what the Bible is saying. We talked last week about really the three main steps or the three main goals of Bible study. Observation, interpretation, application. What does it say? What does it mean? And how does that apply to my life? In this lesson, I want to focus primarily on this idea of observation and what that means. What does it mean to observe the Bible in your study and observation? This is a helpful book, and I'm going to read a section out of it. Not because this is infallible, but it's helpful. He's talking about the idea of observation and reading the Bible. He says this, to insert our own theology into a text is to put words into God's mouth. He has not hidden his word. He has no deep secrets that he reveals only to the smartest people. See, sometimes we think that the word of God is some mystery and is some secret that you need some code to unlock. I mean, there's things like the Da Vinci Code, like the Bible was written and there's these special codes in there. No, the Bible was written for us to know and for us to understand. He goes in, you know, some people like to dive into things like numerology and numbers in the Bible, and they can dive in so deep that they miss the obvious point that God was trying to get across in his word. Like, for instance, here's an example that he gives. There's people that have actually done this, that do this. Talk about how that Shakespeare was involved in writing the Bible. And this is what they come up with. This is serious. They say, in Psalm 46, the 46th word is the word shake. But when you go from the other way, from the other side of Psalms and go back, you find that not counting the word Selah, that the 46th word is the word spear. So you put those together and that means that Shakespeare was a part of writing the Bible. Like, come on. Like, they dive so much to try to come up with some secret little code that the Bible has to say, this is what it means, when they miss it. No, God gave us the Bible with the intent for us to be able to understand it. And it's possible for us to understand it. And if we don't learn how to really study it right, then we can end up misusing Scripture to make Scripture say what we want it to say. So we're going to talk about observation. So observation, interpretation, application. What does it mean, observation? Really, observation is taking a bird's eye view of the scripture and to say, okay, let me just look at what this passage is saying. Because see, oftentimes we'll put demands on scripture that we won't put on any other type of reading, where most time you read a newspaper or you read a book and you're like, okay, this is what it means, and you can understand it. But sometimes we're searching for some deep meaning that we miss the very first and most important step in Bible study, and that's just observation. Okay, what is it saying? And we try to jump to, well, what does it mean? And then we try to make things say things that it doesn't really mean. So it's important just to start with observation, taking a bird's eye view of what the passage says and what it really is communicating, just from an information standpoint. Here's some general principles in your notes that I gave you, some general principles for that can help us in our Bible study and studying the Bible. And some of them are very practical, but some of them are important. Number one is learn to read better and faster. Listen, there's a direct correlation to our efficiency in reading and our efficiency in studying and reading the Bible. I want to be honest with you. When I was a kid, I didn't like to read. I didn't have an appetite for it. But reading is worth it, and developing an appetite to read is worth it, if for nothing else, just to read the Bible. That's why I think it's important for all of us to be readers, not because there's so much out there to learn, but there's so much in here to know and to learn. So learn to read better and faster. And I work at it. I'm not the best reader. I'm not the fastest reader, but I want to get better. Why? Because God has given us a word that's important. Okay, number two, learn to read as if it's for the first time. Learn to read the Bible. I know some of you probably have read the Bible many times, but stop and remember that it's neat to come to the Bible and read the Bible from the standpoint of, man, this is the first time that I've ever read this. This is the first time that I've come across this truth. There's the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, think, oh, well, I've read this before. I've come through this before. No, discipline yourself to look at the Bible as if it's for the first time again. Three underneath that, learn to read as if this is a love letter. Somebody that you love, somebody that you care for, they wrote you a letter. If you're away from that person, you'll want to read that over and over again. You'll want to know what they said. You'll want to understand what's going on in their life. Here's some rules, number two. Some things to keep in mind as you read the Bible. Again, this is all helpful for our observation, to help us get a bird's eye view of what's happening. Number one, read the Bible thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Psalm 119, 148 says this, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." He says, I've kept myself awake and up so that I can thoughtfully and intentionally read God's word. That he's doing it with intent. Here's a thought. Scriptures, the Bible, doesn't yield its fruit to the lazy. It doesn't yield its fruit to the lazy. That sometimes we want to take the shortcut in Bible study. Listen, I'm there. I've been there, where it's like, man, I want to try to get to this meaning and to what this is saying the quickest way possible. But sometimes there's nothing. There some of the greatest things are not accomplished outside from hard work, except for hard work. That it's like, I don't want to be lazy in my Bible. I want to read it thoughtfully. Listen, to me, it's more important that I read one chapter thoughtfully and intentionally than I read 20 chapters at a quick glance. You know why? Because I want to read it thoughtfully. Number two, read the Bible repeatedly. Be in the Word of God. You're never going to exhaust everything that's in here. You know, just a little side note. I've heard it said, and I think it's an important practice, that before a preacher goes into studying a passage of Scripture or a text or a book, to read that book 30, 40 times before. Why? Because you got to make sure you know it and read it repeatedly. Psalm 119, 44 says this, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." that I'm going to keep it before me. I'm going to keep it with me all the time. The key, one of the keys to good Bible study is repeatedly reading and meditating on it so that you really understand what it's saying. Also, here's a big part. When you start to get into the interpretation side, when maybe you're looking at some other resources and some helps, a big problem why people can get off doctrinally is because maybe they take what somebody else has said and they don't really understand Scripture for themselves. And so when they say, well, the Bible says this, but if you know the passage, you can say, well, really, that's not what it's saying. That's not what the Bible says. For instance, I heard a preacher one time preaching out of 1 Corinthians. And he was preaching out of chapter number 5, where Paul says, judge nothing before the time. And he gives a whole context of that. And he's saying, see, we don't need to judge anything before we get to heaven. And we don't need to judge people. And we don't need to judge, you know, make judgments or decisions on what other people are doing and everything. And so he goes off on that. But he ignored two chapters later, Paul says, you need to judge this person. And he said, I've already judged this matter and it's wrong. And so y'all need to judge that the same way. So in one verse, he says, judge nothing before the time. Two chapters later, he says, judge this matter. So you say, well, how do you reconcile that? Well, how do you make sense? Well, see, you got to understand the context and understand the whole passage of Scripture. In the first one where he says, judge nothing before the time, he was talking about people judging another person's hidden motives for serving God. And he says, you don't know that. No matter how smart I am, I can't judge another person's motive. No matter how much I know, I can't do that. I don't know that. So he says, don't judge a person's motives before the judgment day. Let God deal with that. God can deal with the person's motives. They're trying to serve the Lord. All right, let them do it. You don't judge a person's motives. On the other part where he says, I've judged this, there's a person that was in an inappropriate relationship with his stepmom. That's what was going on. And he says, that's wrong. He says, you need to deal with that matter within the church because it was going on in the church and everybody was thinking, oh, it's okay, we're accepting this guy. He says, no, you got to deal with that. That's wrong. So he says, deal with it. Well, one was the hidden motives that we can't see. One was a very outward sin that was open and God's word clearly judges and clearly says that's wrong. So the whole reason I'm bringing that up is to show that by knowing Scripture and knowing that passage of Scripture, you can say, man, that guy's saying something, but it doesn't sound right. Well, why doesn't it sound right? Well, because that doesn't fit with the rest of the Scripture, the rest of that context and that passage. But if we're not careful, we can hear maybe what a preacher's saying or what a book says or what somebody says on TV and says, oh, that sounds great. But no, we got to understand and know the Scripture for ourselves. And you get that by doing it, reading it and understanding it repeatedly. Number three, be patient when you read your Bible. Be patient. Listen, the Christian life is like a marathon, not a sprint. So be patient when you read your Bible. Don't get in a rush to come to the conclusion of what this means or expect to have this bolt of lightning hit you and it's like, boom, it's all clear now. No, God wants to take us through a process of growth and change. So be patient and stick with it. Number four, ask questions. When you read your Bible, I want you to write down these four questions. I mean, they're simple questions, but they're good questions to ask in the observation side of your Bible study. And they're the simple questions, the who, what, when, where, and why. Ask those questions when you read your Bible. Things like this, okay, who's the human author? Who's the human? So we're here in 2 Timothy. Well, who's the human author? Well, Paul wrote this. Okay, well, who is he writing to? Well, he was writing to Timothy. Okay, understanding that helps you to understand the context of what's going on. It helps you to understand, who is Paul? Who was Timothy? So ask yourself who. Well, then you ask yourself the what. Well, what is he saying? What's being communicated in this? What's the intent? Well, where are they writing? Well, some of these verses or some of these epistles, Paul was writing from prison. He's in prison writing to somebody. So you think, man, this is important to know because you're understanding his heart and it adds more depth to the Scripture. Well, when was it written? It's important to know, especially when you're considering the Old Testament, some of the prophets and some of the historical books, to make sure that you're not pulling a passage not only out of context but out of chronological order. So that you know where it fits and into the Bible revelation. And then you can start to ask the question, why? Why did he say that? Why were they here? Why were they in this location? So ask yourself those questions, those who, what, when, where, why questions of the Bible. It'll help you understand when you start going into the interpretation side of it. Well, what questions do I have? A lot of times when I'm reading and I'm studying a passage of Scripture, I'll have another Bible that I used to study with, and if I'm reading something, I'll often take a pen and circle the word. I don't understand really what that word means or its significance, so I'll circle it, or I'll circle a couple verses and say, I don't really understand what's going on in that passage. It's unclear to me, so I'll circle it and then go back to it, because oftentimes if I've read it several times, then I'll see, okay, that's what it's talking about. Being patient. Number five, pray before you read the Bible. Psalm 119:12 says this, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." In Psalm 119, the psalmist in that verse is pouring out his heart to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, teach me. Teach me your word." Who better to go to when you don't understand something than a letter or a book than the author? Go to the Lord and ask him, "Lord, help me. Help me to understand this." Take the Scripture, and I love taking the Scripture and even praying some psalms and praying and saying, "Lord, help my heart to be like you. Help my heart to be in tune with you." Pray the Scriptures. It's reminding God of what he said. You say, "Well, that's not a big deal." No, over and over again in Scripture, you'll see where a prophet or a man of God is crying out to God and they're praying, and a lot of times they're reminding God or reminding themselves through a prayer what God has said in his word. They're reminding him, "God, remember when you said this," or, "God, remember you said you would never leave me nor forsake me." Number six, use your imagination. Okay, that doesn't mean get creative and get weird and put things there that aren't there, but use your imagination to put yourself in the Bible story, in this biblical account. Use your imagination. Listen, the Bible is a lot of things, but boring it is not. One of my favorite preaching series or teaching series that I did was when we were back in Guymon and I was teaching the junior church, and I did a series of lessons that we called them Gross, Crazy, and Amazing Stories in the Bible. Because, I mean, kids loved it. But there's a lot of interesting accounts and stories in the Word of God. But you just got to be, you just got to put yourself in it and put yourself in Scripture and use your imagination to see, man, these were real people that lived in real situations. I mean, we're coming up on the Christmas season and the shepherds on the hillside. Well, listen, those were real shepherds that were on a real hillside protecting these sheep, and they see these bright light that is shining. Man, that's an amazing thought to put yourself there to think, man, how would you respond? What would your response be in those situations? You think of Joshua when he's about to face this battle and this shining angel, the angel of the Lord appears with a sword in front of him. And you're thinking, man, how how fearful would he have been? There's a lot of times when the Bible says to God says to somebody, "Fear not." Well, why does he say that? Well, because they were afraid. Why? Because there was something going on that brought them fear. So use your imagination. Make the Scripture come alive in your thoughts. Number seven, meditate on what you read. Meditate on what you read. That means to think about it, to keep it before you. I love having little 3x5 cards with a verse of Scripture or a couple verses on there that I can take with me throughout the day and pull it out and read it and look at it, to either memorize it or to meditate on it, to think on it, so that I know the Word of God is getting into my heart. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It says he meditates on the word day and night. He thinks on it. He keeps it on his heart. He intentionally. Listen, a lot of times we fail to intentionally think upon God and his word. You know, we come to church or we listen to the radio or we put things come before us without our thinking. But it's good for us to intentionally think upon God's word, to honestly like to chew on it, you know, to enjoy it a little bit. So here's some things. Here's just a couple of things that I think it'd be good to put into practice, even this week that you can look at. Here's some couple little observation exercises here at the end of the lesson. Here's a couple passages. Read Acts 1:1-11 every day this week. and write down your thoughts, your impressions, and your observations from the passage. So your thoughts. Well, what are you thinking is happening? What do you think about what's being communicated? What are some impressions? What's your feeling for what's happening in the passage? Your observations. Just write down. Here's what's happening in this passage. Here's what's being communicated. You can also read Mark 4, 35 through 40, even a section that we've already come through in our study in the book of Mark, and ask those six questions, the who, what, when, where, why, and even wherefore. Like, what's the reason? What's happening in here? Observation is probably one of the most undervalued steps in Bible study, that we want to jump so far, and it's right, we want to jump to what it means. But we can't skip the, I just first need to understand what it says and what's being communicated. And just understand the passage, observation. You know, it's kind of like if I would have a screen up here, you know, and have a picture of some grass. And you say, well, there's grass, and that's true. And that would be correct. But if I zoom out and you see a picture of a football field, and kids playing football on that field, we say, well, you were wrong. Well, no, I was right. It was grass, but it was a part of something much bigger. And once you zoomed out and got the bird's eye view, you could see how that little piece related to the whole. But see, oftentimes we dive in, we want to understand this little piece of a Bible verse or of a passage without stopping to consider the whole. When you consider the whole, man, it adds so much more life and picture to that. One just last example, and we'll finish, to show the importance of this observation and understanding kind of what's happening. There's a message, Brother Gaddis, who preached here during the ordination service. He preached a message when we were at Southwest, that church, and the title of the message was Compassion, Prayer, and Action. And if you've been to Southwest before, you'll notice that as he's preaching, it was different. Like, you can listen to the audio, and you can hear the tone of his voice was different. The way he was preaching was just different, was more subdued. His message was a little different because he preached, you know, we need to have compassion on those who have suffered, who are going through a difficulty. We need to pray for those who have lost things and who are struggling, and we need to take action. We need to do something. And I remember being in that service, and even during that service, it was a very somber service. And I remember afterwards, he had had families get together with their family and pray. And there was a sign up list at the end of the church. He says, we need to do things. We have sign up lists. If you want to help and take action and help those who have been affected, then do that. And you can listen to that whole service. You can tell something's different and something's odd, but you don't really understand everything that's happening until you understand that that was in May of 2013, and the day before, a tornado had come through Moore and hit two elementary schools, killed seven kids. There's about nine families in the church that totally lost their homes completely. Like 34 people were killed in that storm. And so in the service, I don't think he ever mentions that there was a tornado. Why? Because everybody knew. Everybody knew what was happening, what was going on. But when you stop and then go back and listen to it, you understand the significance. Why? Because you just took some time to understand a little bit of the setting. What are you doing? You're understanding the context of that message, and it brought a lot more weight to it. And it helped you understand, okay, that's why the service was a little more somber. That's why his preaching was a little subdued. That's why he's telling people to go sign up and to go help people. It helped it make sense. It didn't change the message at all. The message was still as true as it was, but it helped the listener, the hearer, understanding a little bit more. Listen, the Bible is God's word. And as I said before, it's as rich in the small details as it is in the big picture. But stopping to consider the big picture often helps us understand the richness of Scripture. And then we can start getting into, okay, what does this mean? How do we understand what this passage means? So next week, Lord willing, we'll dive into some practical things on the interpretation side, which comes to not only now what does it say, but now what does it mean?